So by a show of hands, how many of you have experience with jealousy? Either witnessed or been the receiving end or guilty of it, almost 100%, but my guess is it's probably 100%, probably. More than likely 100%. Okay.
Yeah.
When you hear the word jealousy, what comes to your mind? What word comes to your mind when you hear the word jealousy? Brian? Brian wasn't the answer to that. What's that? Oh, the orchids? You guys aren't? What? Yeah, you need to go downstairs. You can go downstairs. Yep. Sorry. I even looked at you. So what image does it bring up when you hear the word jealousy? Okay. Envy, okay. Anything else? Don.
Argument.
Argument, okay, argument. Argue about, oh yeah, that can lead to a lot of arguments, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jealous about your own opinion. Could be a challenge, okay. All right. Anger. Whoops. Okay. Okay. All right. So we kind of, that's kind of our perspective, because usually jealousy for the most part is sinful. And I asked, is there ever a time, is it ever okay for a Christian to be jealous? And how many of you said, yes, there is a time? Okay. All right. How many of you said, no, there's probably never a time that a Christian should be jealous? Okay. That's okay. That's all right. Made you think, though, right? It's like, okay. And just like Cheryl did, it's like, what do you mean by jealousy, right? Right. Okay. All right. But we know that in the sinful form, jealousy is probably one of the most destructive things on this earth. You know, in Proverbs it says, you know, wrath is cruel, right? Someone that's wrathful can be very cruel. Anger is a flood, can overwhelm, right? Overwhelm those who it's towards, and even overwhelm the one who is angry. But jealousy gets a category of its own. Who can withstand jealousy? Jealousy is almost, in the sinful sense of jealousy, is virtually, if there's such thing as uncontrollable sin, jealousy is one of those. This is when someone is most wrathful, when they're jealous. And you know, there's lots of examples in the scripture, but one of the great examples of how destructive jealousy can be is found in Genesis chapter 37. And in 37, we begin to read about Jacob's family. And Jacob has, of course, he has 12 sons, and one of those sons' name is Joseph, his youngest son. And immediately in Genesis chapter 37, and you can follow along in your scripture, Joseph is about 17 years old. All right, and so he's in the field with the rest of his brothers and some of the wives, and the next thing we know, Joseph is trotting in from the field and giving a bad report about his brothers. Now, I know right away from reading that relationship with his brothers is not good, in one way or the other. Now we're not told what it is, but it doesn't really matter. The fact is, he was telling on them for something. And to make things worse, to make the relationship even more strained between Joseph and his brothers, we're told that Jacob loves Joseph beyond has a greater love for Joseph than beyond the other brothers. He loves him more, which even made his brothers even more mad and hated him so much they couldn't even speak a good word to him. You ever had that with your siblings? Where it's like they have days they're fighting and it's like they cannot say a nice thing to each other. Well, this was deep-seated. This wasn't just a random, you know, you just have bad days. This sounds like this was absolutely deep-seated hatred. All right. And you can just begin to see jealousy being painted all over this relationship and all over this family. Because what you find out is this jealousy absolutely blows this family up. And to make things worse, you know, you think Joseph doesn't seem to be the wisest of 17-year-olds. Okay? Because he has this dream. Now, knowing that things are not good between him and his brothers, knowing that he's dad's favorite, he has this dream that he is out gathering and bundling up wheat, and so is his brothers. And so in his dream, he says his bundle rose up and their bundles bowed. Now, he was foolish enough to say, guess what my dream was about last night? Now, how do you think that went over with the brothers? Like, are you seriously? You think you're going to, you're like, see, I told you this is why we hate him right now. And so Joseph seems like that initially he's just not getting it. But he has a second dream. And the second dream, he tells his brothers, and he's telling his mom and dad about this dream too. He goes, you know, I had this dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me. And that was even too much for his dad. His most, you know, his favored son is like, are you kidding me? You really think that me and your mom and your brothers are going to bow down to you? And what does it say in verse 11? His brothers were jealous. Can you see the jealousy? Now, justified or not, regardless, you know, you can see, or not justified, but you can see where Jacob might have played into this a little bit, but it doesn't matter. The fact is they were jealous, and you know the story. You know the account. You know what happened. They were driven by mad, bitter jealousy, and they wanted to end his life. Of course, by God's providence, he doesn't. And you know the rest of Genesis is about this whole occurrence. But it blows up their whole family, this jealousy. So jealousy. Again, we can't talk about everything about jealousy, but in the scripture, when you find the word jealousy in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word kaina. All right, and then in the Greek, in the New Testament, you have the word for jealousy as zeos. All right, does zeos sound like any word that you're familiar with besides jealous? Sorry, zeos. Zealous, right? That's partly where we get our word zealous. And so when you see the word zealous in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's really the idea of jealousy. All right. And there's really two types of jealousies. There's really two forms of jealousy. All right, and let's just talk about the first form. The first form, and I don't know if I should put overpowering, but it's this overpowering desire for something or someone that's not your own. And I say overpowering because you can desire something, but then there comes a point where you become obsessed and becomes a sinful desire of coveting. It's kind of like, I want what you have. Now, that could be anything, right? I want the power that you have. I want the life that you have. I want the looks that you have. I want the peace that you have, and I'm jealous for it. We kind of, and I think Larry said this, we think of this type of jealousy more as envy, right? You're green with envy. So this is defined more as envy. And the scriptures warn us about envy. Says, you know, peace of mind brings about a healthy body. When your soul is at peace, your body benefits from that, right? A peaceful, confident, a joyful heart, that does bring health to the body. But jealousy will rot your bones. Now, both figuratively and physically, right? Envy will just eat you away, and if there is envy in your heart, it affects your physical body, doesn't it? Things affect your body. But it's the idea figuratively too that it will rot your bones. It's a incurable disease that just rots you spiritually, rots you physically. It rots you away at your relationship with God and others. Job says, you know, foolish anger kills a person and jealousy kills the simple-minded person. And we're told in James, as James is talking about the wisdom of the world, he says, for where envy, zealous, where zealous and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and all kinds of evil. Now, evil in the sense of worthlessness. So whenever there is selfish ambition and zealous, envy, you can be sure that there's instability. You know, the envious person is really not stable. Constantly being tossed and turned by that envy as it swells in their mind and their desire swells and every kind of worthless thing that they pursue, you can be sure to find disorder and every kind of worthless thing where envy and selfish ambition is. Well, then, you know, as we said here, typically we see jealousy as a sinful thing to be avoided. Well, then we know from Scripture, and you guys know your Scripture, you know the Bible. When we read that God is jealous, we don't just read that people saying he's jealous, we read where he says he is jealous. He tells the Israelites, do not make an idol for yourself. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And one of my favorite passages about the jealousy of God is he explains his jealousy. He said, you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous. His character is jealous. He is a jealous God. So do we look at God and say, is God envious of us? Is that the sense that we're supposed to take this? That God says, oh, I want what you have? Well, that's stupid, right? That doesn't make sense. Of course not. Anything that we have is from him. He's even told Israelites, if I really wanted bulls or I wanted something, I own it all. But he said, I don't want those. What I really want is your heart. So God cannot be envious of anything or anyone. And that's why in even the books that I have on the attributes of God, one characteristic and attribute of God often missing is this one right here. The jealousy of God. And that's why I call it the forgotten virtue of God. That people just an oversight, they just sometimes choose not to address the jealousy of God, but it's so instructional and so important for us to understand what kind of jealousy does God have, you know, in his character, and how should we relate to that, and does jealousy have a part in our life? So the jealousy of God. This kind of brings us up to the second type of jealousy. And I don't know if I worded this right or not, but the second type of jealousy has to do with maintaining and protecting what is rightfully his. That he is jealous to protect and maintain what is rightfully his and his alone. So this is the question that I asked you, is this. List something that God jealously keeps for himself and will never share nor give away. Were you guys able to come up with some things?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That would be one where he's refused to tell us or to share with us when Christ is going to return.
He's jealous for all that to come between us.
Okay, so he's jealous for our complete devotion to him. And that's important, right? The work to preface that, because we're all devoted to God, right? But to what extent? Israel was always devoted to God. They never gave up the sacrifices, right? But what was the problem? Exclusive, right? Exclusive. Worship. Okay, so that's devotion to God. So
His glory. Okay? He refuses to share his glory. Worship? Okay. Is he cool with us worshiping him and then worshiping other stuff?
His people.
He is jealous for his people. And that is a huge, will be a huge comfort to us, right? He is jealous for it. But it's not the people that is the root of his jealousy there as far as protection.
Soul.
What's that?
Soul.
Soul. He's protective of, he's jealous of the soul. Okay. Anything else? Think about that for a minute. You know, it's not, you remember what he said why he picked Israel? Because they were the most faithful, smartest, biggest, baddest nation on the block.
Your Bible doesn't say that?
What if I got the wrong version? That must be the green version. No. God is jealous. Jealousy of God. You guys hit on a lot of them. You hit on a lot of them. I like to say it like this. What's his is his. Lord, what's yours is yours. And let me not tread on that. Right? Let me not tread on what is yours. Because he gives us, it's just like the Garden of Eden, right? He's given us more than we could ever want, but we keep wanting more. Look at these passages. I'm Yahweh. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. What's Ezekiel say? He says, I am jealous for my holy name. So what does he mean that he's jealous for his holy name? What does he mean by that? Someone came up to you and said, I read this in Ezekiel and it says, God is jealous for his holy name. What is that? What does he mean by that?
He wants to be the only one that can have that title.
He wants exclusive rights. Okay.
His reputation among people.
Yeah. Yeah. His reputation. I am jealous for my reputation. Are you jealous for his reputation?
As he is. I am jealous. I am zealous. Again, whenever you see the word, you're going to see, word, not today, but as you read through the scriptures, you're going to see zealous. In the new and old. And I think, again, there could be a few instances, but from what I studied, it's the zelos, it's the kano, it's a kana, it's the idea of jealousy. Just what we were talking about here. What provokes his jealousy? What provoked his jealousy? He was enraged with Israel because they were dividing their devotion. They were not exclusively worshiping and serving him. And that enraged him. Mainly because he is demanding that he be exclusively worshiped because he's worthy. The Lord of hosts says that I am extremely jealous for what? For who? Where? What's Zion? And I hope you're using the Psalms to praise and worship him. But as you read through the Psalms and you read the prophets, there is great affection for Jerusalem. They're obsessed with Jerusalem. God is obsessed with a divine assessment and jealous for Jerusalem. He says, I am jealous for her with great wrath. So there's two types of jealousy, right? There is the overpowering, sinful, I want what you have. And we've seen the destructive power. We've experienced the destructive power. The second is maintaining or protecting what rightfully belongs to you. It's the idea too on this in thinking of God and thinking of our situation. It's kind of like the jealousy that a spouse can have over their spouse. Okay, for example, could have been another way I could put it. Is jealousy have any part in a marriage? The answer is there better be the right kind, right? Right, Cheryl, the right kind, the envy versus this, because you'd ask, like, what's my definition of jealousy? So these are there's two different definitions of two types of jealousy. But if, for example, if a wife is talking to another man and the husband sees it and they're just simply just talking and he becomes jealous and mad, Is that righteous jealousy? No, that's possessive and selfish, isn't it? But if someone is trying to intrude on his marriage and somebody's flirting with his wife, does that righteous jealousy? Absolutely. And what's the proverb says? When a jealous husband is seeking revenge, no one will stop him. I think it's like Proverbs 6, because jealousy is such a powerful drive. So there's two types. There's a sinful envy type, then there's the righteous jealousy, but it can always spill into sinfulness, isn't there? Just like anger. Is there a righteous anger? Absolutely. And there's also a sinful anger. But that righteous anger can always spill into a sinful anger. It's the same thing with jealousy. So what about us? Should we pursue this same jealousy for God that he has for himself, this zeal that he has for his name, his will, his honor, or is that just a divine jealousy that is exclusively God's and he'll take care of that part? The answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? That God expects us to share in the same godly jealousy for himself as he has, and he expects us to share in that. So what I want to do is, there's a couple examples, and we won't have time today, but I wanted us to look at a couple examples of what godly jealousy looked like. And one of the examples is in Paul's life in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul had been defending his apostleship, and he'd been kind of elaborating on his authority and as an apostle, as an authority of teaching them, and as he led them to Christ. But he said, I hope you put up with my foolishness for a little bit from me. In other words, what I'd been basically boasting about my credentials. He goes, yes, you do put up with me. He says, that's very instructive to us. He says, for I am zealous over you with a godly zeos. I'm jealous for you. I'm not jealous of, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Now, what was he jealous over them for? You know, what was this jealousy? What provoked, how about that? What provoked this jealousy? He tells us, because I promised you in marriage to one husband, being the spiritual father of many of them, to present a pure virgin to Christ. He said, when I brought the gospel to you, I have a zeal for you to stay holy until you're united with Christ. It's kind of like, when a dad, and it's always, and I don't even know where the tradition started, but the father will give away the bride. It's always the tradition that the father is like kind of, she's under his authority. Now, a dad always wants to give his bride away as a pure virgin to the groom. And so that's what Paul, the imagery Paul has here. He's saying, as I spiritually am bringing you to Christ, I wanted to present to you in the end, present you to Christ as a pure virgin. But I fear something though. I fear that as the serpent, as Satan deceived Eve by his cunning argument and his cunning words, that your minds have been seduced from a complete and pure devotion to Christ. And he's talking about false teachers. He says, when a false teacher comes into your midst and he preaches about another Jesus, whom we didn't preach, and you receive a different spirit, in other words, you start receiving all this false teaching that you have not received from us, which amounts to really a different gospel with different truths, which you have not accepted before. I like how he puts the very end. Guess what you do? You put up with it splendidly. One version says that you embrace it beautifully. To embrace something beautifully, to receive it splendidly, was not a compliment to them. And so he was jealous for their purity, for their devotion, for their worship of God, to stay pure until they were united with Christ. In the end, of course, we see that union in Revelation chapter 19. But what does godly jealousy look like in our life, though? And I want help with this. You know, how do I know when I am jealous for God? How are we to know when we are jealous for His name, for His glory, for for the exclusive worship of Him? What will I see in my own life if I truly am jealous for God? So when I say jealous for God, it includes His name, His glory, His praise, His worship of Him alone. So I know I am jealous for God when I... Okay, so when I stick up for Him... Okay, I'm jealous for God because you would do that for your child, right? You would do that for anyone else. How much better if it was somebody was running down God?
And they use His name in vain.
Yeah, that a lot of us, you get hot about that. Yeah, you know you're jealous for His name, His reputation. You're taking the name of the Holy God and making it, attaching it to a vain, unholy speech. Okay, that would be one. Katie.
Yeah, they say the vain way.
Yeah. I got scolded, and I didn't realize this. For years, I would say, I think I still do sometimes, gosh. Jeez. And I won't tell you where I was at, those other pastors, and they're like, yeah, do you know what gosh and geez is? I said, what? It's a slang for God and Jesus. Did you know that?
No.
You mean they lied to me? It's really not true? I don't know. I'm just saying, you ever heard of it?
It's historically true.
Steve,
a
heard
lot
about
of
it?
The words we say in English have, used to be messed up so much time.
But I never had... Gee whiz, so what's whiz mean? Jesus wisdom?
Yeah.
Anyway, because of my but now well now okay, but here's the thing, okay? Let's just say for sake of argument that it's not sinful. Okay. Now for me to say gosh is sinful now. Why?
Because
my conscience, right?
Yeah.
So thanks, guys, right? No, but it truly doesn't honor Him. I don't want to. But I never had meant it that way. Where were we? Oh, about when we know, when can I know that I'm jealous for God? Okay. Taking His name as irrelevant and unholy. What else? We want to paint a picture of what this looks like for each other.
I can say something. This morning, there was conversation going on while Kyle was reading scriptures, and I think that is disrespectful.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? You know, that does bring up a good point. It does. And again, the intention is not to disrespect it, but when is typically, when do we intend to disrespect? We don't. Okay, dishonor. But that is true. We probably need to do a much better job when Kyle begins to speak to really shut it down and get it and sit down. Because they're true. He had some great biblical things to say, and most couldn't hear. And I was just as guilty back here too. So how, so let's by our own, let's police ourselves up and let's get in our seats by 6, like, not by 9:30. Okay, try. Let's do a better job at that too, so that when he starts, we can join in with him and honor God's word, honor their work too. So. Good point, Mary Beth. That's a good point. I don't think any of us are offended by that. I think we would all say amen to that.
Yes.
For sure, yes. Yes, absolutely.
I'll try to keep my words relevant and worth it.
Well, no. And they are. Absolutely, they are. We just have to do a better job at time management. And actually, in the month of October, we're going to talk about stewardship. And time might be one of those subjects. So, yeah. So that would be one we could start right now. A little bit of time management on getting the getting in our seats and getting ready to worship God and sing together. Huh? What's that?
Did you tell me I got to get here on time?
Oh, well. There's the steam machine.
She's standing waiting.
There's other services.
Yes.
Again, are we all about hard and fast?
No,
we're not. No, we're saying, hey, just out of God, brotherly and sisterly love. Kids. Yeah. What are you going to do? I'm not sure. Okay. So back to that. So in our everyday lives, how can I know? I know I am jealous for you, Lord, when I
hate our own sin.
Oh, hate our own sin. How much do you really hate your sin? I don't think enough. I don't hate my sin enough. That means that I'm not jealous enough over his honor. Because my heart's open bear to him. Yeah, that would be another. Billy, you have
when you're in this every day.
Yeah. When you are, you could be doing 1,000 things, Billy, couldn't you? You got a full plate. But you're jealous for that time in his word. I'm jealous for that. And I get a little irritated when I don't get enough time in there.
Yeah,
I get a little irritated, like, right? Now, if I pout all day, that's one thing. But, that's right?
Perfect. It makes me angry.
A little bit of oomph, right?
Yeah.
That's when you know that you are jealous for God. That's when you know that your prayer life's going in the right direction. When you run out of what? Time before you run out of things to pray about. That's when you know you're in the right direction. And by the time we're done with prayer over this next year, you're not going to... We literally could be in scheduled prayer the whole time. Just praising God alone in a psalm could take a long time before you just get that satisfaction, like, okay, I'm ready to move on to maybe, Lord, search my heart. Okay, so time, exclusive time and devotion and prayer. Anything else? How about our Great Commission? The greatest work we can do to glorify God is to lead someone to Christ. Right? It's when a repented soul comes to Christ because we are obedient. That's when not just to save them from hell, but because I know that person, for the first time, can truly worship and praise God in a way that's acceptable of my holy God. And they just happen to get out of damnation in the process. That's the motivation. When my life is structured around getting the good news of Christ to people in my... I mean, structured. That's just a part of my relationships that I'm looking for. When I am totally devoted and I'm discipling someone, I'm personally investing in, brothers and sisters on a personal level, on a public level, or whatever it is, a personal level, because I have a godly jealousy over them to see that they have a complete and pure devotion to Jesus. I know I'm jealous for God when that's part of my life. I know that I'm on the right track. This touches everything we do. This is the part of our main part of our motivation. I'm jealous for God, and I'm jealous over what He's jealous for, and that is His praise, His holy name. I'm going to share something that I haven't shared before that I do in prayer. I don't even know how to present this really. But praying the Ten Commandments with a godly jealousy. The Ten Commandments can be broken down into really two sections, right? The first four of the commandments, and you can turn to Exodus chapter 20, so we'll be referring to this just for a few minutes. But again, when God gave Moses and is giving Israel His instructions and on what He expects, there's few places in the Scripture that has as much as Exodus 20 has in one condensed, concise spot. Because here alone, we have God telling us, this is how I want you to love Me. This is My expectation of you. And He proceeds to give the first four. So if I abide by these alone on how am I going to love You today, Lord, how am I going to be jealous for You? All I have to do is come here and say, are these part of my life? Except for one. Can you tell which one?
It has an asterisk.
Now, what do we do with that one? Because again, how do I pray this? Lord, and this is not, I have a godly jealous for my family, for my kids, for you guys. I am jealous that you will unconditionally worship and serve and give all your affection to God. But I know we don't always do that. And that's why I know that we need to pour over and pray these things back to God. That's why when I say, Lord, thank You that You are, there is no other God besides You. I read one time it said, you know, idols don't mind sharing. Idols will share space, right? In Rome, they had what? All kinds of idols, right? In Canaanites, all kinds, they'll share space. They don't mind sharing devotion, right? It's because they're not real. God does not share well. And neither should we. And that's what this prayer is about. Lord, just like a Puritan said, that our hearts are factories of idols. Constantly producing idols, right? And we know an idol can be anything. We don't bow down to a statue, but we will bow down to material things. We will bow down to the great desire for peace. We'll bow down and worship health, that everything, if I could only be healthy, if I could only get out of debt, if my husband would always only love me, then I'd be happy. I am not jealous for God when I say that. So idols are tricky. They take all kinds of forms. God is to be my joy. God is to be my jealousy. So Lord, I know that there are idols in our hearts. Reveal those things that we worship, Lord. And those things that we do know we worship and care too much about and value too high, I pray that we would abandon those things. That's how I pray this. For you, for me, for my family, regularly. This is how you want us to love you. But again, what about when I get to the Sabbath? What do we do with that? Do I pray that you keep the Sabbath? I don't see any response. You're not sure, are you?
Well,
okay.
Depends on how technical you want to get about it.
What? How technical was God? You didn't keep the Sabbath. Guess what? You're going into slavery. That's very technical.
Well, but I'm saying as far as what day of the week is the Sabbath.
The Sabbath is Friday night at 6:30 to Saturday evening at 6:30.
Right.
So what are we to do with this? Because I'm just sharing what I pray, because I want to foster and cultivate a godly jealousy.
Use Hebrews 3 and 4 to understand what it means in fulfillment.
Okay.
The Sabbath is the commandment that forces us, or makes it important that we understand that the Ten Commandments as such were given to Israel as a nation.
Right. So these are Ten Commandments. These are to Israel. Does that mean that we have no part in our life?
Most of them are based on moral things that are inherent to God's character, and you can find support elsewhere in Scripture for most.
Can I find support in all ten? If I can find support in all of those, should I be praying those and following those? Absolutely. And guess what? We'll talk about these next. I can find support in every single one except the fourth. And actually, Paul says in Colossians, he says, you know, some people are going to say God, they hold one day holy. And then some people say, well, every day is holy. He says, don't judge those. Right? He says, don't judge those who abide by certain days, and don't judge those who don't. So that's one commandment that I can't find that you won't find. Matter of fact, he says, this is not for the age of grace. This is not for the church. Is it a command that we worship on Sunday morning at 9:30-ish?
It's a tradition.
No, it says we should not forsake gathering together.
Right. It's a sin to not come together, but we've decided as a local church this is what time we're going to get together, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But what did the first Christians, what did they typically do? They worship on Sunday. Why was Sunday the day they worshiped?
Resurrection Day.
Yes, every time we come here, that should be in our mind. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus
also,
Christ.
When they first started, the temple courts that they met in were available that day because all the Jewish religious activities were finished for the week at that point.
So that was the only free day on their schedule. You guys have 3 days in?
Yeah.
Right? And we pray, and I prayed this side. This is basically telling me how, now again, this isn't just exclusive. There's all kinds of principles and precepts. But if I want to know how to love others and how to pray for others, what better spot to go to? Honor your parents, right? So after you're 18, you no longer have to honor your parents. That's not what I'm being told. When you're 18... that's it. No, you honor, right? You never stop honoring your parents. Now, your relationship takes a different, goes into a different stage. Right? They don't have the authority, but there's still that honor. Murder. You know, again, this might sound silly, but we're careless sometimes. Even unintentionally, Christians kill people, right? So I say, Lord, I pray that we would not be careless in our day-to-day activity, even unintentionally. But it goes deeper than that. What's Jesus say about murder?
If you take your breath, you
commit murder in
your mind.
So again, I'm adding the spiritual element, which is right in track with what God is lining up for us. Yeah, and the anger that all of us have had at one time or another, murderous at heart, adultery, the same thing. You know, with the divorce rate of what, over 50%, people not even getting married anymore, they're just living together, the state of our culture, our marriages need this. We need prayer that God would protect us from breaking our marriage covenant. We need this. Our teenagers, our kids need you to pray for them now for that. For all of these. You know, obviously stealing, but we think about, have I stolen from my, again, what I've, you know, just thinking, sitting on these things. Have I always given my employer 100%? Am I not, in a sense, stealing from him because I'm not giving him what he expects? So these are just spins off this that we pray for. Falsely accusing. Coveting. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. Do not covet his male or female slave. Do not covet his oxen. Do not covet his household. Do not covet anything. Now what's different about 10? What's different about 10 of all the rest of them?
It deals with your inward thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't, if right now I'm not coveting right now. You see it?
No.
Good. I'm glad you don't see my heart. Really. And I'm glad I don't see your heart. Right? Because I know my heart. Well, as a matter of fact, I don't know. I know my heart. What I know of it is pretty ugly. And it can be ugly, just like all of us. But God knows it even more. Right? Thank God for the blood of Christ. So I spend time off and on, you know, going through this. It's just using the scripture in my prayers for developing and cultivating a jealousy for God. So, Here's the last thing. C.H. Spurgeon. Everybody know who C.H. Spurgeon is? Huh? All right. He back in the 1800s, he was a Baptist preacher. And this is the bottom of your handout. Someone said, Spurgeon, why are you so precise? Wait a minute.
Precious.
I said precious.
Yeah.
There I go again. It's supposed to be precise. How do you spell precise?
P-R-E-C-I-S-E.
Yeah. So scratch that and put precise. It says, Spurgeon, why are you so precise? And what's he say? Why are you so precious?
No.
Precise. He said, because I serve a jealous God. Now, here's the last thing right here. Spurgeon said, I am glad that he is a jealous God. So here's what, I'm just out of curiosity. That's my email. See my email, jeffpennington@yam.city. Now, Spurgeon had an answer to that. And he had a very insightful, good answer to that. What I would like for you to do is, I would like for you to think about, it's on the back of your handout, for yourself, what is your answer? I am glad that God is jealous because, and what I'd like for you to do is email me your answer. And if you email me your answer, then I will email you what his answer was. I really liked his answer. It was a lot better than mine. Why wouldn't it be, right? So, but really, we've talked about a little bit of jealousy of God and how we should share in that jealousy for him. But in this aspect, why should we be glad that God is a jealous God? Why should that make us rejoice? And why have you ever celebrated God and said, praise your name, I worship you and praise you because you are a jealous God? And I reflect that praise not in my lips. He says they are so close in their lips, but their lives are ridiculously evil. And so when I'm glad and rejoiceful and I'm cultivating a godly jealousy for others in my life, for my heart, then we know that we will not provoke his jealousy, but welcome his blessings. If you don't have an email, but you have a iPhone, write it on a piece of paper and take a picture and send it to my phone then too. I'm just curious as to what some of the answers would be. Okay, any questions? No? Okay, let's pray. Lord, jealousy, Lord, your godly divine jealousy is often overlooked, ignored, sometimes by accident, sometimes on purpose. It's like Kyle said, sometimes we like to just focus on things that that are not offensive to our pride and our sin nature. Lord, I want your jealousy. I'm glad it's offensive to my pride and my sin nature. Lord, I pray that we would be live our lives with a godly jealousy. I pray that we would be jealous for your honor and your glory and your praise in our own lives. I pray that we would have a godly jealousy for our brothers and sisters, that we'd be mindful in our prayers and our actions, so that all of us might have complete and pure devotion, so that we might be pure and as a virgin, presented to you holy on that day that we will be united with you, Lord. So, Lord, we pray that Jesus, that you come and you come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.